Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the servants in the Church of Christ. I'm Andrew Cook, and I'm glad to have your company once more. The Practical Preacher, the series returns. And we hear from Malcolm Ryan, who joins us for A Pastor Talks. Here on Serving Today, we want to support those involved in preaching and teaching the Bible to God's people. We do this in a number of ways, and we've got a new contributor to the program to help us, and he's going to introduce himself to us now.
My name's Andy Robinson. I've worked as a pastor of a church in Southeast England for the last 16 years. It's really good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you on the program, Andy. Now, you're going to help us with a particular aspect of sermon preparation. Can you tell us what that is and why it's so important?
I want us to do some thinking about how we apply the Bible to people's lives, whether in sermons or Bible studies or other contexts. Application matters. When we look at the Bible, we don't simply want to understand it. We want it to make a difference to our lives. That's why application matters. So no application is a real problem.
Let's start with the negative side of this. Can you give us some poor examples of application or a bad way of going about sermon application?
Sometimes you can have what I would call tag-on applications. So you've looked at your passage of the Bible, you've explained it, and then you think, I needed a practical application like read the Bible more or pray more. Even if that isn't really what the passage is about, I think we want to avoid this tag-on application. Or perhaps you can have an application that doesn't get beneath the surface level. So we encourage people to behave differently, witness more, do evangelism more, but we've never got to their hearts. We've not got beneath the surface to the level of motivation.
And why is that a problem?
Most Christians already know what they should be doing. They know they should read the Bible. They know they should pray. They know they should love people. It's the heart which is where the issue is, and we want to get to the stage where we're motivating people to obey. That's what we really need.
Well, you've obviously given a lot of thought to this, and you're going to share with us some ideas on how we can improve application.
Yes, I wrote a piece called 10 Hopefully Helpful Hints on Application. There's no great authority behind this. These were just things that I often do when I'm trying to write my sermons. So it's a fairly random list. I simply sat down and thought, what am I trying to do when I apply the Bible? But hopefully it will be useful for those who are preaching. Hopefully it will be helpful for those who aren't preachers, which is the majority of Christians. We're seeking to apply the Bible to our own lives when we read it for ourselves.
And you're going to take us through two of these for now.
The first hint on application is this. Get your application and the tone of your application from the passage that you're looking at.
What particular issue are you addressing here?
I think it's the temptation we face to explain the passage and then get the application from somewhere else.
When or why does that happen?
It happened early on in my life as a preacher. I was preaching on Mark chapter 2, where Jesus talks about his authority to forgive sins. And then I remember thinking, well, I need an application, and I basically went for, this is wonderful, you must go and tell people, and essentially made people feel guilty about their lack of evangelism. So it was a slightly awkward thing where a passage about Jesus forgiving our sins, I ended up sending people away feeling guilty about their evangelism. And that was largely because I just tagged on an application rather than getting it from the passage. Or sometimes it happens another way. We come to a passage where there's a command telling us to do something. And instead of actually using the command in the passage, we slightly change it and turn it into something that God needs to do. For instance, I've listened to sermons where the command is love one another. But the preacher's just changed it so that the last thing he says is, let's pray that God would help us to love one another. Do you see the change that has just happened? The passage tells us to do something, and we've shifted it to make it something that God needs to do. I think we can trust the Bible that when the writer says, love one another, that God has already given us the resources by his Holy Spirit to be able to put that into practice. In other words, get your application from the passage, do what it says.
So how do we make sure then that we're getting the application and the tone of the application from the passage?
I think largely by trusting that the Bible knows what it's doing. So looking at the passage, thinking, what is the application from this passage to people's hearts and minds? And not thinking we need to get it from outside the passage, just look at what's in the passage.
Yes, could you say why this matters?
I think one of the dangers is if we keep getting our applications from other passages rather than the one we're looking at, it essentially will mean that we will keep going back to our favourite topic. It might be our favourite topic is we should pray more. And so everything, every sermon we ever deliver becomes about praying more. It's only if we limit ourselves to the specific passage and getting the application there, can we make sure we're letting the Bible speak rather than just bringing in our favourite ideas. I think the same can be said about getting the tone of our application from the tone of the passage as well. That's necessary because it prevents us just giving in to whatever our personality is like.
Andy, could you illustrate for us how this can be the case?
I remember listening to another young preacher, and he was preaching on Psalm 23. Psalm 23, hugely encouraging. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And yet he managed to turn it into a stinging rebuke. You know, is the Lord your shepherd? Are you looking to him? Why aren't you looking to him? And I think that was because he was naturally good at challenging people. And the tone of his application simply came from his personality rather than the passage.
How did you address that particular situation?
Well, I just gently suggested that the tone of his application hadn't been the same as the tone of the passage. The tone in the passage and in the way we apply the Bible needs to be the same. It can happen the other way around. He was particularly keen on challenging people. There are others of us who hate confronting people with the truth. We only want to gently encourage people. And that can be a danger. So Amos chapter 1, you have the roar of the lion. And if you're the kind of person who doesn't like challenging people, that might just turn into the kind of purr of a pussycat. What we want is for the tone of our application, whether that's encouraging or rebuking, the application, the tone of it needs to come from the passage rather than just what our personality is like.
Yeah, that's really helpful. What's next from your list of sermon application hints?
Well, the second one I had down was belief and behaviour.
And what do you mean by that?
That application isn't simply about behaviour. It's not simply about doing certain things. Firstly, it's about what we believe. What are the truths that we believe?
And is there an example of this that you can point us to?
Take Peter's instruction in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your burdens on him. Because he cares for you. Cast all your burdens on him because he cares for you. There are two applications there. Firstly, we need to believe something. We need to believe that God cares for us. That's the first thing. And then only secondly is the application that we need to cast all our burdens, all our anxiety on him.
So maybe what you're saying is that we shouldn't always assume that application needs to be practical in the very first instance.
Not at all. In fact, the danger is that most practical application won't make any difference unless you've got to people's underlying beliefs. You have to deal with the fact that many Christians wander around still feeling guilty. And that's because there's a problem of belief. We don't really believe that Jesus paid for all our sins. Or lots of Christians can wander around feeling worried or anxious. And that's because we don't fully believe that God is sovereign and that God is good. We want to get to those fundamental beliefs before we get on to practice.
So staying with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How would you go about applying that particular verse?
Well, I'd want to spend a fair chunk of time encouraging people to believe that God really does care about all their difficulties and problems. And we'll need to be fairly direct about that. It won't just be enough to say God cares about all our problems.
Yes, I can see that that's too general. So what kind of thing would you say instead?
Well, I'd want to be more direct. I'd put it like this. The problem you have at the moment, the problem that you're worrying about, maybe the thing that's keeping you awake at night, God cares about it. Why? Because he cares for you. What I'm trying to do there is just get to the real nitty-gritty of the main issue that people are facing and then applying the truth into that situation. And only then will I try and make an application to behaviour.
Well, thanks, Andy, for sharing the first of these sermon application hints.
Now, here's Malcolm Ryan in the occasional series of Pastor Talks as he reflects on the promises of God.
You know, it's a bit of a sad fact that some Christians live with the insecurity that, despite their love for God, he might withdraw his love from them if they fail or disappoint him. But God's word, the Bible, assures us that we're secure in that love forever. So first, let's understand that the believer's security is not rooted in ourselves, but in God himself. This truth is demonstrated in the life of the Apostle Paul, who looked at the very character of God for assurance that his soul was safe. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. And what was true for Paul is true for every believer. God will guard, he will protect and defend the salvation he gives from the very first moment of our faith commitment until the day of judgment and our entrance into heaven. Indeed, one of the most reassuring aspects of the character of God is the fact that God keeps his promises and he never lies. As we're told in the book of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And among God's many promises are these. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Then if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. These are his promises to us, and they're promises he's going to keep. Then let's also remember what God promises in John chapter 3, verse 16, to all who will believe in his Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "They will not perish, but have eternal life." And especially take note of the word eternal. My friend, if the life God gives to us in Christ were not secure, if it could be lost, taken away, or was in any sense temporary, it couldn't be called eternal. And there's nothing more secure than the word eternal.
And that's all we have time for here on Serving Today. So this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord use and bless you as you serve him. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.